Ek en my kind op Radio Tygerberg 104 FM.
Goeienaand luisteraars. U is ingeskakel op die program Ek en my kind hier op Radio Tygerberg 104 FM. Vir die van u wat dalk vir die eerste keer ingeskakel op die program, dis 'n program wat aangebied word vir ouers, vir gemeenskapslede, vir almal met 'n bemoeienis en 'n betrokkenheid by onderwys en onderwyssake binne in ons provinsie. Ons weet ook dat ons het luisteraars wat ingeskakel is via die web en selfs oorseese lande. Baie welkom vir julle ook wat vanaand ingeskakel is by ons. En die ons natuurlik, soos elke week, ek, Sura Swart, en saam met my Neville Goliath.
Naand, liewe luisteraars, baie welkom. Yes, het was 'n lang dag, Sura, nie? Een lang en warme dag, en ons is nou hier op, hier kwart oor acht op die donderdag aand, waar jy ons altyd sal kry. Sit ons nou in ons gesels oor die ding waaroor baie ouers passievol is, en dis natuurlik onderwys en die opvoeding en die onderriggewing van kinders in die land. En ons is op baie kritiese plek in ons ontwikkeling, vooral na COVID-19, waar dit nodig is om te praat oor sekere dinge. Maar vanavond gaan ons praat met 'n spesiale gas, nie so, en hy sit hier aan die punt van die tafel, en hy is gewoond om te sit aan die punt van die tafel, want hy is mos die hoof van onderwys, nie, en dan ons het hom sit gemaakt hier aan die punt van die tafel in die atelier. So ons het meneer Brent Walters, die hoof van onderwys hier in die Weskaap, wat saam met ons kuier vanavond, en ons is baie dankbaar dat hy die tyd ingeruim het om hier te kan wees, en ook aan u wat ingeskakel het om te luister na wat meneer Walters sê. Ons wil vir u sê baie welkom, ons sit gerus nabij. Meneer Walters, baie welkom, and welcome to Ek en my kind.
Thank you very much, Neville and Sura. I'm very happy to be here and very happy to share my thoughts.
Mr. Walters, we are truly privileged to have you with us this evening. We spoke earlier before we came into the studio. You mentioned that it's been a year being in this post, and you are now own that hot seat. It's yours, and you've had it for a year. What was that like, Mr. Walters?
It was quite an interesting ride. It's been an interesting year, and I want to take you back to the first day, which was the 1st of April 2021. And on this first day, unfortunately for me, I got called to a cabinet meeting. And the topic in the cabinet meeting was, Mr. Walters, this is your first day on the job, welcome. 5,741 learners unplaced. What are you going to do about it? That is how my job started in the WCD. And my answer was, I'm going to place these learners.
Yes.
Because I think leadership is about being brave. It's about being bold. It's about taking a little bit of risk, but also doing the right thing. Because obviously we know that learners need to be placed. They need to be placed. They need to have education. So we took that decision, and over time, we've been working on that for the whole year. But I mean, if I should think about the year overall, I mean, we've got increased demand for the service. The Western Cape is a compelling proposition for people across the country. You know, there are two megalithic provinces, Gauteng and the Western Cape. And people gravitate towards these two provinces. And we in education, we're on the receiving end of that. Because as people come to us, they come for services. And most people, families have children, and children need a school. So we feel that. We feel that first. So I think that's my one impression, ever-growing demand, ever-growing system. I think my second feeling about the year is COVID-19. You know, then we were at school, then we were on trips, then we weren't going, then the school was closed. So I had to adjust to that and adapt. And I had the simple idea that let's push for the vaccinations, get everybody vaccinated, and back into the classroom. But of course, the COVID-19 had other ideas, and that unfortunately coincided with the third wave. And then we went down, we were about to go back, then we had the fourth wave, and then it was holidays. So that's my sort of next sort of feeling about the year, COVID-19, vaccinations. I think the other thing about the year, that in the past year, that is just sort of that I've thought about is learning losses, you know. I'm an educator by profession, as of course you know. And I do believe that contact time is very important for children. Very, very important in the classroom. You need the contact time. And so as we had these rotational timetables, I did think, sure. I mean, I wonder what this is actually doing. So learning losses is the top of my mind, and what are we going to do about learning losses? And then, of course, As the year went on, in this part of the year now, we had the reopening of schools and the full return of learners. But we also had the National Senior Certificate exam results, which was a pleasant surprise. Hmm. A pleasant surprise. And you know what I think? We'll talk about that probably.
Yeah.
But what I think is, because those grade 12s had an uninterrupted year, basically with maybe a week and a half disruption, it actually helped them. Mm. That consistency helped them. So that's my reflection. It's a very busy job. It's exciting. It's got lots of elements. You've got to think on your feet.
Yeah.
You've got to be available to people. The system is extremely large. We have 43,000 employees. 43,000. Of which 3,000 are in offices. Mm. And 40,000 are in schools.
In classrooms.
In classrooms, and maybe some of them are groundsmen and other categories of work, support staff and so on, doing things. If you look at, and we've got 19,000 teacher assistants also inside the system. This is a large system. So exciting, large, very happy to be here. After 1 year, I'm more excited than when I began and really up for the challenge.
For the past about 5 years, we have now become used to the slogan and the theme of the year that's driving WCED, the whole values in education and the Transform to Perform project. And in the end, accomplish the vision of the quality education for every learner in every classroom, in every school. But now, as you've indicated, COVID came in between. And I think the theme of this year has a lot to do with, and what we now need is resilient people. For our listeners, the theme of this year is 2022, the year of learning, leadership driving resilience. And I think that is utmost what we are needing in our schools, that people would now become resilient. But what do you have in mind in terms of that? How do you see that theme to be put in practice in schools and in communities?
So I think if we go back to the 2020 year, right, and we look at the uncertainty that there was in communities about the COVID-19 virus, whether we must go to school, whether we should write exams. I'm talking about 2020 now, because we didn't know enough. Because we didn't know enough, we were very uncertain. Then we were doing this in the sector, then we were doing that. It was a little bit incoherent in 2020. Some of the decisions we had to push through. And then when you look at that 2020 year, I think people were scared. If I take everything into account, they were scared. Then we started to say, okay, how can we manage this? So we had the rotation, we looked at the rotation. Rotation worked, we sort of kept the infection rate down. We had all our screening activities, isolation activities, and so on. At a certain point, as the virus became less deadly, we started to speak about maybe we need to live with this as we have lived with the flu, as we live with other diseases, where people still actually pass away from these diseases. But in general, you tend to manage it as a system. And so therefore, we started to say, well, given the fact that people are fearful, this is how we came to this, given the fact that people are fearful, what confidence do we need to give them to be able to actually go to school every day, attend their lessons, teach every day, and so on? And we came up with this concept of resilience. We need to build resilience inside people, the resilience to understand that I actually am a teacher. Okay, this is not to the teachers. I am a teacher. I chose this job because I wanted to be a person who gives of myself to give to others. It's a sacrifice when you decide. You know, teaching, I always say, teaching is not just a job. Those who treat it just as a job, they're probably not as effective as those who decide, this is my passion, this is my vocation, I actually want to help children. Mm. And so in all of those teachers, bearing in mind that they face very many difficulties, we wanted to make sure that they are resilient. And one of the things we said is, taking that idea, they need to show leadership. Principals need to show leadership in their schools, show that resilience. The teachers need to show resilience in front of their classroom. And the students will then copy it.
Mm.
But we also said next year, if we go back, which is now this year, it will be a year of learning. Because learning has been lost. Time has been lost.
Yeah.
Learning has been
yeah.
lost. So we took these two concepts, put them together and said, well, it's a year of learning. We're back at school. Let us learn, but let us drive resilience. I mean, I think the one issue there is that, you know, in education, when you build resilience, the big issue is consistency. I am a math teacher by profession. I know about repetition. I know that some new theories in education, sometimes they don't like repetition. But if you look at successful cultures around the world, repetition is the center of the culture. The discipline is there. The consistency is there. And by being at school every day, we push the idea of consistency. And then obviously you drive all the values that come with in our government. We've got the value of accountability, which will come through resilience. You must lead with care. So we show that we're caring. We're caring from the point of view of, yes, we're telling people, still wear your mask, stay apart from each other if you can, but there's no physical distance requirement. Screen if you can, wash your hands, do all the things that you need to. And we care about you, but we care not only about your physical health. We care about you intellectually, emotionally, and whether you can develop as a person. And so we show that compassion, I think, of care in the year of learning to develop resilience. And I think, if I think about it overall, right, I mean, the education system is quite resilient in that, and people are quite resilient, and teachers have been innovative in some of the things they have come up with over these past 2 years to show their resilience. These are the things that we want to promote for the year of learning and leadership through resilience. At the time now, we may have to go back. Right? What you didn't see in the background is principals also were scared, and rightly so, because they had been dealing with, you know, half the size of the school. Now suddenly, what's going to happen when everybody comes back? And I remember that weekend before we went back, few of them flurry of emails and, SG, don't you think we must do this? And don't you think? And people were a little bit scared. And my only consistent message was, guys, this is the time to show leadership. Leadership to our students, leadership to our parents, and leadership to our community. Leadership to our community. And that's what we did. And we are back, warts and all, with all its problems. But at least we know our children now are getting the contact time. Obviously, as we go on, it's like, you know, I'm a mathematician by training. You're taught to solve a problem and then you refine the solution. Because if you try and refine the solution from the beginning, maybe you never ever get to any answer. But so we've gone back.
Yeah.
We're back there together now. Now we must start saying, okay, what's the quality of that? And I think that's the conversation we are in right now.
And if challenges would now come up, to work with those challenges and find solutions for it. And I think that's everything about the resilience that we need to show.
Yes.
We can't go back to where we were in high tide of COVID. So we need now to live our lives around what is happening and then continue.
We need to continue our lives. I am fully in agreement with that. You adapt to your conditions.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, for example, I think about the fact that in our province we have different climates. You know, and I grew up in Cape Town, I'm a Cape Town boy, and so the climate's moderate, and then there's teachers in Beaufort West, you know, temperature's 42, but they have resilience, and they adapt to that, and they survive, so I think it's the same thing, we've got the climate that perhaps changes, but we need to just make sure that we, in those classrooms, are teaching, doing the best we can, and giving our children the best chance. That's really what teaching is about, giving people that opportunity. You can't do it for the child, but what you do is provide the platform for the child to actually take that step up. That's really what I think the year of learning leadership for resilience is about.
Yeah, and I think also our teachers and our learners, if we think what we have overcome and that we hear, I think that should make them believe in themselves and the skills that they've developed, and also the potential that they have to overcome difficult times. So we can go on.
You know, Sura, you raise a very important thing now, because, you know, as I said before on the line, you know, I'm repeating myself as a good teacher. you know, I taught mathematics, and a lot of when you teach mathematics, a lot of it is about self-belief. The child gives up before they even try, especially at the high end, when they're in grade 11 and grade 12, and some of them have been very poor at the subject. They suddenly decide, this is something I can't do. But of course, we know, everybody, and I know that from my sport background, everybody can develop an average capability just through consistency, training, repetition, just putting your shoulder to the wheel and getting it done. And that's the same with all these things, creating that belief inside our children that I don't actually have to stand at this level. I can actually reach for the stars. Mm. That's really what education is about. It's really about creating that passion inside them and igniting something. And, you know, when I was in the teaching game, directly facing kids, I remember that there were a few kids not very good at mathematics, but they were very good at sport.
Yes.
So a few of them. And then I'd use that, you know. as a basis to say, well, you know, boy, you want to play volleyball, you want to do cycling, you want to do, sorry man, the homework needs to be done. And obviously, I think the teacher uses everything at their disposal to make sure that children can actually be given that step up. That's really about creating resilience in them and then in their lives, because we all live our lives outside of these rooms, and we know life is not smooth. It's got twists, turns, and U-turns. You know, that's it.
It's Liewe, difficult.
It's difficult, yes.
Liewe luisteraars, die persoon wat so lyries is oor onderwys en so passievol praat daaroor is meneer Brent Walters. Hy is die hoof van onderwys hier in die Weskaap. En hy kuier met ons saam vanaand hier in die ateljee by Ek en My Kind. So bly by ons, moenie weggaan nie. Mr. Walters, the matric examination results was very encouraging, just to say the least. I think some people were somewhat surprised. But I think in one letter that you wrote, you praised what Patrick accomplished during this time and also what educators did to get them there. What are your views on what they've achieved? But also, what do you have to say for the class of 2022?
So let me first just talk about the class of 2021.
Yes.
Before we get to the class of 2022. So the thing about the class of 2021, they had a slight advantage. Even though we were worried about the fact that they were in grade 11 in 2020. And grade 11 was almost the stepchild of the high school year, because the grade 11 and grade 6 seemed to have been, on the timetabling, seemed to have been given the least time. So we were a little bit worried, you know, what's going to happen. But what then happened is the system, the people working with the matrix, everybody inside the department, the principals, the teachers, the parents, we all just made a decision, listen, yeah? These children have to go to school for the whole year. And we're going to give them the support. And those children got the support. There was autumn schools and spring schools and tutor programs and at-home packs and your laces lank.
Is the cards?
There we go. You see, so a lot of effort went into doing that. And I think I think it's a joint effort of everyone. But I think specifically principals and teachers, they can be proud, because inside their schools, they made sure that their matrix were given the best opportunity. Parents also need to be congratulated, because, I mean, I know I have two kids, they finished with matric, but I don't know if you guys had children in matric, but you feel like you're writing matric when they write matric, right? So thanks for parents for supporting. I think this class, in the end, maybe they just put their heads down and decided, listen, we actually just need to go for it. We need to go for it. Now, they had a normal grade 10 year, a semi-normal grade 11 year, and a normal grade 12 year. You know, the class of 2022 is not going to have that advantage, because they would have had, the class of 2022 is would have had a semi-normal grade 10, a semi-normal grade 11, and a normal grade 12, let's say in inverted commas. So maybe more support must be given. We will give the support that we require for the class of 2022. They can look back at the students of class of 2021 and say, yo, even though these guys had time lost, they actually still did it. It is possible. You know, Prof. Inde Bailey, I was at that reading panel at Stellenbosch University, and he tells us a story there that he was very bad at mathematics. And then in grade 11, he got a teacher. We're talking about teachers who inspire, you know. He had this teacher, and he couldn't really do mathematics. But while this teacher got him involved, he started speaking to him, connected with him emotionally. And eventually he decided, I'm actually going to try this man. Because he realized I wasn't actually applying myself in the way perhaps that I could have. And eventually he passed his mathematics. Just from that issue of the teacher. So in the end, I think it's about the emotional well-being of our students, creating that platform for them. They feel safe. They feel supported. They feel loved. They feel loved. And therefore they feel, well, let me put my best foot forward. And, you know, in a sport world, you see it as well. You know, it is possible to take anyone and give them average ability in something. And that's really, I think, in the class of 2021, that's essentially what happened. I think people put their shoulders to the wheel to really do that. The department did lots of things to try and assist. Sura, you would know, Neville, you would know, lots of things to try and assist. But again, it was principals driving it, teachers driving it, parent support. That's it. And then, of course, the students themselves. They reacted to that environment and said, well, here's an opportunity. Let me take the opportunity. So I think we were pleasantly surprised. Because, you know, you're very conservative when it comes to predictions. People ask, what do you think is going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I'm hoping for the best. And in the end, you know, the results exceeded our expectation. I mean, we've got many more passes with exemption.
Yeah.
Bachelor's passes is what they call it, bachelor's passes. We've got improved maths passes, improved physical science passes, 81.2%. I mean, it was just outstanding.
Mm.
And, you know, I think everybody involved needs to be congratulated. We had an award ceremony at the Premier's residence for the matrix.
Yes.
But my message to those listening here today is to thank the parents and the students. But I also want to thank the principals and the teachers.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, in their schools, they were in control of that unit.
Yeah.
And they pushed their children. So to those schools who did very well, please copy what you did before. And hopefully you repeat that performance of 2022. Mm-hmm. To those who didn't do so well, maybe there's an opportunity gap for you to actually make up some level of gap, and hopefully you can get your students to reach for the stars. And that's really what it's about.
So we're going to step up the same recipe more or less, last year.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, for matric, I mean, I think it's the same kind of level of support.
Yes.
Okay, to make sure that our students are... Remember, for some students, writing matric is also stressful.
Of course.
It's stressful, you know. So you need to also remove that stress. And we know you remove stress through knowledge. Like if you go into the unknown and you're not quite sure, that's when you're a little bit, okay, not quite sure. But once you're in there and you say, okay, it's not so bad, I can actually do this, I can actually do that, then you relax. It's about creating that environment for our matriculants to excel. On the first day of this year, I went to Bontewell Senior Secondary. I visited the school on the opening day.
Yeah.
And the deputy principal, he was kind enough to let me speak with the matrics. And I spoke, they were all listening to me. I spoke about sport. I spoke about what are you interested in, what do you like doing. No, I like soccer, sir. I said, okay, how did you become good at soccer? The guy explains, no, I was there every day, training. I said, well, matrix the same. You know, you train every day and suddenly you see you pass.
Yeah.
So my sense of this would be that I'm going to go back to that school once quarter, just go chat to them, see how we're doing. Hopefully, you know, many of the learners will remain inside that system. But it's about creating an inspiration, a desire, something that they can try and reach for. And the best teachers help their students to reach for the stars. That's really what we want inside our learners.
Liewe luisteraars, ons gesels so lekker met meneer Brent Walters, die hoof van onderwys. Maar ons gaan nie weg hier, ons gaan net gou wegbreek, net so vir 'n minuut of wat, en dan is ons terug hier, so moenie weggaan nie. Bly by ons is nou terug.
Ons gesels vanaand oor onderwys sake met die man wat weet. En dis meneer Brent Walters, die hoof van onderwys in die Weskaap. Ons is baie gelukkig om meneer Walters vanaand hier by ons te hê. U weet, ons het al vir u gebring 'n minister van onderwys. Ons het al die vorige hoof van onderwys gebring en ek dink ons is die eerste radiostasie, meneer Walters, by wie u ook nou kuier van dat u die hoof van onderwys by die Weskaap is. Is ek reg as ek dit sê?
Yes, it's in the studio, yes.
Ja. So ons is heel vooraan as dit kom om vir u die inligting te bring en dit warm na u toe te bring en u op hoogte te hou van wat in onderwys sake aangaan. Mr. Walters, I think one thing that COVID pandemic brought about was to make people realize what impact barriers to learning have on learners and their performance. And I think because of the fact that throughout the spectrum, from the principal, the teacher, the support staff, to the learners, people has experienced emotional difficulties. Some had sad things happening, they've lost people around them, but the circumstances changed. And I think that made them realize what impact it has if emotionally you are struggling or whether there are barriers around you. Now, White Paper 6 on inclusive education has been accepted more than 20 years ago. And yes, huge strides have been made in terms of the development of inclusive education, the whole inclusive education system, the development of that. But still, we're not there. We're still struggling to get that through, to have that in every classroom, in every school. What are your views? What do you think can we do to expand inclusivity within WCED?
So maybe I should start off by saying, you know, in education, right? You never leave anyone behind. You know, a good education system says, well, children all develop at different rates, different systems,
yes,
and the system needs to adapt to accommodate them. So maybe that's just as a frame, you know, to say, leave no one behind. Mm. So if we take that as the frame and we think about first the emotional well-being of people, before we get into the whole issue of inclusivity, just to talk about emotional well-being, you know, I think we've actually been through time where maybe previous generations, if you think about it, the dislocation, maybe like the Second World War, maybe people who lived through the Spanish flu, maybe the First World War, you know, people in the world, this world impact. So you find that, in a way, the department has to start to think about the psychosocial support that we give to our teachers, our learners, and others around, even our staff inside the offices, to make sure that they can have that resilience and that they feel included in everything. But I think, just in terms of the actual system of inclusivity and White Paper 6 that mm-hmm. you mentioned, I think the one thing is that we as a department, let me say that these are desirable things that we wish to do, and that we're doing them maybe not to the extent that we should, but we're doing them. There's an intention. Mm-hmm. I think the one thing is we need to talk about early intervention for those who have mild or moderate barriers to learning. You know, early intervention for them, an identification of the issue. Mm. I mean, those who deal with these things that know how to do that. But if you give a headline, I give a headline as a leader of this organization and say, listen, we actually need to have early intervention and identify that this guy actually needs special help in some way, mildly or moderately, he's got some learning barrier, and can we make that up? I think that's a first line of defense, because you don't need to do that, and that's how you include. Because if you think over time, as the education system has evolved, I know they've become more sophisticated in making sure that no learner actually does get left behind. So that's the first line. I think the other area is that we have students with learning barriers in various ways, and you would know what those barriers are. I think we also find that, you know, you must learn from medicine. You know, how medicine works is like this. You're in a car accident, right? And then the ambulance picks you up, right? But now you got your leg is bleeding and your arm is broken. You got your neck a cut here, but then you also got a bump on your head. They put you in that emergency theater, right? They look at you and they start saying, well, okay, there's 7 things wrong with this guy. What are we going to do first? And they cooperate to be able to do that. And they do that through a process inside their industry of what I call multidisciplinary teams. People, x-rays, anesthesiologists, and all these other guys, one who's fixing arms and all these, you know, the big words in the health department. They have a culture of actually doing that. That we need to transport into our system. So we look at that learner, we see as Neville, and, you know, these are some of his, well, this is what he's showing, these are like his symptoms, this is what he's showing. So as a multidisciplinary team, how are we actually going to help Neville? I think that's where the department needs to go. I mean, I think also we need to also consult higher education, and obviously there are also things like right stakeholders. We have groups of people who look, as you of course know, in education, because it's everyone's business. We do have people who sort of petition for rights. I think we need to take some of those seriously. I think the most important point is about advocacy for me. Mm. Advocacy about an attitude about inclusivity. Mm. You know? Are you open? For example, if you take our values as a Western Cape government, one of the most important values in my view is the value of care. Care means we leave no one behind. We're open, we're inclusive. We need to be able to do that. Obviously, as you, of course, I'm sure would be the first two people to remind me, we have a big system and resources aren't always available.
Yeah.
But I think what's important is it's progressive realization of some of these things that I've mentioned inside the system. And as we want to go on, we want to progressively realize to make sure that we cover all learners, that in the end, every learner feels that they're part of a system receiving quality education, which is our vision statement. Quality education for every learner, in every classroom, in every school, inside the province. I think that's really our approach would be to sort of think about how we approach inclusive education. I think the one thing about it, though, is that you're always going to have a situation where you got a resource issue. Now you've got to balance those resources and decide how much should I put into this. I think the department has a well-established section that deals with this, and they drive that. They certainly their voice is heard even by me as the leader. I hear that voice. Mm-hmm. The directors, they're always and always speaking for inclusive education. So I think this is something that really is part of what we do as the WCED.
Mr. Walters, the WCED or education is a system where there's a lot of diversity.
Yes.
There's a lot of shades of differences. And I think when Surah introduced the whole question about inclusive education,
yes,
it's exactly that, is that all kids don't necessarily learn the same. Now the WCED has adopted a three priority focus strategies, yes, or areas. For the listeners who's not aware of that, the three are the following. It's online and blended learning. That's number one. Number two is foundation phase mathematics and languages, focuses on there. And the third one is well-being and psychosocial support. Now, in terms of what you just said and how these three priorities will be put into practice, how will that be done? Well, what is your vision, your approach to that?
You mentioned the three priorities. So just to maybe take us back to August of last year, as a management team, we went away for 2 days and we said, well, at this point, we're in the second year of COVID, what should our reaction be? The discussion that was dominated, there were two things that were, actually three things that were dominating the discussion. The one part was, hey, there's learning losses.
Yeah.
You know, we need to respond in some way to learning losses. The other thing that was dominating is that COVID-19 seemed to have sort of almost pushed us into the digital era, because we seemed to be having our meetings and our discussions online, and suddenly this is a whole new world that opened up, and now it's data, and we must buy data for the students. That was the second discussion. And the third discussion was around people feel a little bit battered, you know, from all these things that's happening. So we took this discussion, we crystallized it and said, well, these are the three things sort of bothering us. As an education system, if these are the three things bothering us, what can we do? So we started off saying that, you know, all learning, all education, all development, it's based, predicated pedagogically on reading, writing and calculating at the bottom end. And we decided if we really wanted to fix the system, we need to have a long-term view. And that long-term view for us would be, let's look at what's happening in the foundation phase. And we believe, and I think it's a correct belief, from an educational point of view it makes sense, but I think just from a logical point of view, even if you're not in education, if you want to build anything, right, you wouldn't build it from the roof. If you want to build this building we're sitting in, you'd start with a foundation. And as solid as your foundation is, that will determine eventually what structure you potentially can have. If you want to build a 10-story building, you'll have a different foundation as to opposed to if you, yes, want to just build a 2-story building. So we decided foundation phase is very important. And we also decided that after having looked at some of the systemic diagnostic results from the 2019 situation, remember in 2020 we didn't have the systemic diagnostics, we looked at that and said, man, it is clear that if we use that as a starting point and there are learning losses, goodness me, the damage is probably going to be higher. That's what we thought. And said, well, we need to actually put an effort into foundation phase learning. And so therefore, it would be things like we give structured reading programs in all the languages. So, you know, people who know a little bit more than me as to the teaching of language. I mean, I know phonics is very important. I know that, you know, I mean, I think we all know that in education. So it's structured phonics programs in, yes, some ways. I mean, in the three languages, we have three languages, and we need to just make sure that there is a reading plan. But I think more than that for me, when it comes to language, it's about a reader in every child's hands, you know, creating that love for reading. You know, Neville and Susan, I will tell you now, you won't believe this, but it's true. You know, I got a hiding when I was a young person for reading too much. Today, you know, because I would sit, honestly now, this is God's truth. I would read and be so excited by books that, you know, when I was still in primary school, I finished all the Hardy Boy series. I was reading way above my reading age, and just that love was from a young age. But I remember one night, you know, sitting with a torch under a blanket, my father was coming into the room there and basically giving me a beating because I loved reading. And I think there's two things. The one is we must provide the technical know-how, but we need to create the love for this thing, the imagination. You know, I was speaking the other day to Lorenzo Davids, who was, he's one of the NGOs, he was in Community Chest, I think. Yes. And he's not in that anymore, he writes now for the newspaper. But he said to me that when he was small, when he was 5 years old, Mr. Quint, who is well known in education history. He spoke to all these young five-year-olds and said to them, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine you climbing the mountain or imagine you at the sea. And that's what reading does. It creates in our minds maps for imagination and therefore is very, very, very important and will be supported by me fully, even though I'm a math teacher. Reading is the basis of everything. And we push that. I think with you need to give learner support, you need to give the right support material. But I think importantly, you need to encourage reading at home. And schools need to think about, and the department needs to think about what can we actually do to actually make sure that those reading programs go forward. And then, of course, the mathematics that goes without saying. Obviously, we need to just support that number sense and counting and all the operations that take place at that level. So that's for foundation phase. And then for the online blended learning area, that's an area where we're not quite, we're going very slowly. It's like we're trying to feel our way through there. But what we do know there is that it probably must be experimented with in the older age groups. Our feeling is that the contact time for younger age groups needs to be face-to-face.
Yeah.
And then for the older ones, you can maybe start to rotate and it maybe could solve your number issues. And then, of course, I've already spoken about well-being and psychosocial support. The department really would support that in a big way.
Mr. Walters, in conclusion, we've spoken about resilience and we've spoken about the vision of the department and what we are heading to. But we also say to each other that we have lost a lot over the past 2 years. Learners didn't come to school every day. There are certain things that we'll have to concentrate more on within our classrooms. What role do you want parents and communities to play in supporting schools to overcome the backlog caused by COVID-19 pandemic over the 2 years?
So I think with parents, being a parent myself, you can't manage these things for kids. You can't do it for them. You've got to love them, number one. Just they must feel loved. Yeah. They must feel supported. And they must feel that in the end, someone cares about me. And then I ask parents, send your children to school every day, please. Send your children to school every day. Yeah. Check up on their homework. Ask them what it is that they need. See how you can support them. Sometimes it's tough love. Sometimes it's tough love. But just support your child to be the best that their child can be.
Yes. Liewe luisteraars, dit is die stem van meneer Brent Walters van die WKOD. Hy is hoof van onderwijs. En ons het gekom aan die einde van die program. Dit het so gauw gegaan, Mr. Walters. Thank you so much for being here this evening and saying all the stuff that you did. And I think many parents listening and teachers and principals listening, they are very encouraged by the stuff you have said. But thank you for being here this evening and for just sharing your thoughts and ideas with the listeners this evening.
Thank you very much, Neville and Sura. I think I enjoyed this interview more than you did. And
I enjoyed it thoroughly.
I love to share my passion. I do believe in the product of education. Someone sent me a SMS when I was appointed the HOD and said, education pour alles. And it's true.
Yeah.
It's true, because this will determine the height where we arrive as a society and where our young people arrive. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
Luisteraars, en baie dankie dat u ook ingeskakel het, dat ons vandaan weer kon kom kuier daar by julle. Ons is elke donderdag aand is hierdie program in julle huise. Ons gaan hierdie onderwerpe waaroor ons vanaand gesels het en waarna die onderwyshoof verwys het, ons gaan nog baie daaroor gesels. Ons gaan nog 'n hele paar weke nog aanhou gesels en gaan kyk hoe kan ons dit in praktyk plaas? Hoe lyk dit binne in ons skole? Probeer om leiding te gee ook vir onderwysers, vir ouers oor hoe ons dit kan aanpak, hierdie visie ook wat ons onderwyshoof het. Maar ons het aan die einde van die program gekom en daarom sê ons totsiens.
Totsiens.
Bye bye.
Jy het geluister na Ek en my kind op Radio Tygerberg 104 FM.